Good morning. It's a Monday morning with our political observer, Alan Shartok. We're all waiting on the current presidential candidate, former Vice President Joe Biden, to pick his running mate. I see in the Washington Post this morning, Alan, Biden's delay in choosing running mate worries his allies. The presumptive Democratic nominee has extended his search by as much as 2 weeks. Even some longtime allies are concerned that the process is pitting women, especially black women, against one another.
I don't know. I think there may be a strategy here. You know, I'm not Biden and I can't obviously say what's in his mind. There is a distinct possibility that he's benefiting from this. He's letting a lot of people into the game. He's honoring them by the fact that he's talking about their qualifications and how rich the Democratic Party is in women and in black women candidates. And I don't see where this hurts him. In fact, I think it helps him a great deal because, as you know, Biden has not been in the limelight. And Donald Trump, every time he opens his mouth, does get there. So I think the strategy may well be that Biden waits. Of course, the other possibility is that he can't make up his mind. That would not be good. But one has to just hope that he knows what he's doing. I think a perfectly satisfactory explanation can be given that the more time that goes by, the more this thing reaches a fever pitch, the more interested people are in the whole process, as opposed to just making an announcement and then it goes away. So the news media likes this kind of thing, and I think the strategy may be correct.
How important is that VP pick, Alan, for turnout, for example?
Well, the vice presidential pick can be a disaster if you do the wrong thing. Sarah Palin is a good example. Therefore, these people have to be vetted. If a candidate has a huge relationship with Scientology, for example, as one does, it becomes something that has to be looked into. So you have to be very, very careful. Now, Joe Biden, like me, is older, and he may disappear from the scene. So to me, that person has got to be vetted very, very carefully so that there isn't further embarrassment later on. You had better be sure that the Republicans are doing their work too. Now, if this person has to take over and become president, that is going to be a very important qualification, as is the relationship with the president. We do know that Biden and Obama got along extremely well and were able to work together. I think that's important. I think the idea that somebody has to be able to take over at a moment's notice. On the other hand, I keep thinking about this. Harry Truman took over. He knew nothing about the A-bomb development. He was not kept in an intimate relationship with the President of the United States so that he knew what he had to do when he took over, and he did just fine.
Clock is ticking, Alan, on Trump comeback as early voting nears. From the AP, President Trump's aides are increasingly worried that the 2020 campaign may have already been defined as a referendum on Trump's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. Also a concern is that the election will feature a historic shift to remote and early voting options as nervous Americans avoid the physical ballot box.
Well, look, the more people that vote, we know this, the better off the Democrats are. So therefore, they are all for voting by mail, as am I. I don't think there's any reason why Americans shouldn't have an easy time of it when it comes to voting. The Trump pronouncements on voting being potentially fraudulent is very upsetting to me because, once again, the guy who's always talking about things being rigged may be seen by many people as the rigger himself. In any case, David, we are going to see a lot of talk about fraudulent voting. And this is where it becomes very interesting because much of the voting in the United States, all of it, is handled by the states. And we see some red state governors who have gone along with the president under the most absurd of scenarios. So would it surprise me that somebody tries to do something within their state? Look, we had Florida, we had Hanging Chads, but for Florida and but for that situation, Al Gore would have been the president. So we can't be careful enough about the way we do our elections.
Of course, the most high-profile doctor, Dr. Fauci, that's a name most everyone knows now because of this pandemic. Another name that's out there, Dr. Deborah Birx. Now, she was speaking Sunday, warning of a new phase of the coronavirus pandemic with more widespread cases, but she was also forced to defend herself against Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who was accusing the administration of spreading disinformation on COVID.
Well, first of all, they have. I don't think Dr. Birx is the responsible party. I think the responsible party, of course, was the President of the United States. Nevertheless, she does work for him. And as a result, she has to take either a strong stance against some of the stuff he says, like Dr. Fauci has done. So that leaves us in a situation where Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, look, Birx is the agent of the president. She could have been more forceful. Birx is having none of it. Goes out of her way to widely praise Speaker Pelosi. A good idea. But Pelosi herself is having none of it and doubles down on Birx. Look, we have watched Fauci. And he has been a model. He wants to serve the American people. That's clear. But he is not going to either mitigate his own pronouncements or anything else. And has been terrific about that. Not so much for Birx. And that is something that I think a lot of people, myself included, in watching the two of them, have made that comparison.
Then there's, of course, this giant financial reckoning. I even heard on the BBC this morning, Alan, HSBC, the huge bank, is having trouble. We have negotiations going on in Washington. I'm reading that there's some progress on coronavirus relief talks. When are they going to get the financial act together here?
In order to understand this, you got to go read Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal, because he sees himself as a deal maker. He doesn't see himself as somebody who's a problem solver. So he sits back and he says, I'm going to let people starve. I'm not going to put food on people's tables. I'll give them the $600 one time, but I'm not going to come up with a more comprehensive solution that the Democrats want. So he's sitting back and saying, they have to come to me because I'll put the pressure on them. I'll say I'm for feeding the people, but nothing more. We've got Andrew Cuomo who says, look, if you don't come up here and help the states and the cities, this is a very bad situation, and there's going to be hell to pay as a result of it. And I have no doubt that that's what's going to happen.